Because they went in there and talked about Jesus. And that's my prayer, that when we finish our building, that when we come back into town, and the program and the campaign I'm going to be looking at is back to church, and we're calling our community back to church, that we turn Salida upside down for Jesus. That there's something going on, and that God is doing something special. But see, that's a challenge for us as a church, because when I'm talking about that, what that means when I'm talking about the church, that means you and me. All right? When we think about the church, it's always, you know what? When I say church, some of you are thinking about a building. Some of you are thinking about the preacher. Some of you are thinking about those who are sitting around you or those who are always doing something. But here's what I want you to understand. The church is you. You are going to be the ones to turn Salida upside down. You are going to be the ones, and I'm going to be joining you, and we're going to make a difference in Salida. But that's a challenge. Because, see, we live in America, and America is based on this. Here's what America is based on. Me, myself, and I. America is based on, our country is founded on independence. We fought for our independence. We like doing things our way. We're different than most of the nations around the world. There's only one of us. We want to be, and how many of us are, I got to do it my way. I don't know about you, but you know what? The best way is my way. All right? I like things my way. And that is quite a challenge to get our eyes off of ourselves, to get our eyes off of us, and get our eyes on our community. I mean, America's founded on that. We fought for it. We fight for it. We want our independence. We like it our way. We want it when we want it and how we want it. Matter of fact, go over to Burger King, look on the wall over there, and they got a big old sign that says, have it your way. I mean, and that's what America wants. And look how happy America is right now. I mean, are we really happy now? I mean, Americans are just bubbling up with joy. They got all this independence. Things are good. Things are great. Things are smooth. Man, it solved all our problems. Just get your independence and all your problems go away. Right? It don't work that way. See, God has set here with a different plan. You know, we keep thinking America is God's country and God has blessed America, but America has many issues. And the problem is we've wandered as people from God's plan. See, God's plan is for a community. God's plan is for us to be together. God's plan is for us to work together. We were created to be in relationship with one another. Look what the scripture says here. We all are part of this, of his one body. And each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs the other. We're all one. We need one another. It's about us as a group. And this is going to be something that's a challenge for us. And what I'm going to challenge you today, and what we're going to look at today, is five reasons you need one another. I'm going to lay out five reasons you need to get in a small group. I'm going to really emphasize a small group this morning. Five reasons why you need to walk through these tables and pick somebody. This one that says Monday over here is a really good group. All right, they meet Monday night at 6:30. It's a great group, so you're invited. And the others are going to campaign to get you in their group, but Monday night at 6:30 is a good group. All right, you get the hint, you know? I want you to be in a group. I want you to be with others. We need one another. We need one another. Oh, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the person next to you and you say, I need you. Go on. Don't just sit there. Turn to him and look at him and say, I need you. Did you do it? I'm watching you. Now I want you to turn to them and say, I need you. All right? Go on. I'm going to stop. All right? We need one another, whether you know, I don't know about you, but have you ever heard anybody, and maybe you've said this, I don't need anybody? I've heard people say that. I got news for you. You need one another. We all do. We're created that way. And there's five reasons this morning. I'm gonna hit these real quick, so you're going to have to fly with me. Get your outline out, and let's get ready to go. Five reasons why you need one another. The first one is, I need others to walk with me. I need others to walk with me. Life can be awful lonely by yourself. And as you're going to walk through life, and what's interesting, the scripture challenges us that. As you read the Bible, I'm going to encourage you, you're going to read it this week, but you need to read it more often than that as we do our 40-day study. The Bible talks about a spiritual walk. It talks about walking with Jesus, walking in the light, walking in wisdom, walking with Jesus. It talks about all those kind of things, walking in love. And we're challenged to have that spiritual walk. But in order to do that, we need others. We got to walk. Look at what the scripture says. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You have a walk. We're walking through life. Life is a journey. As we've been building our building, one of the things I've been campaigning for and sharing with you, and I've talked to Dan and trying to make sure we keep an eye, this is a journey, and we need to enjoy the journey. There are too many people not enjoying the journey of life. Life is tough. They just had a big campaign up in Sacramento. This company came in and trying to help people save their homes by going to the bank, and they had like 40,000 people lined up outside of Cal Expo trying to help them save their homes. This is a tough world right now. It's different. I'm going to tell you, as this recession turns, you need to know something. This America is not going to be the same. I guarantee you that. We changed after the Depression. I don't know about you. This has been awful close to Depression. And we're going to come out of this different. And I want to challenge us to come out of it different in God because we're walking with him. And what I want to tell you this is you can't walk alone. There's something about walking with others. I walk every night, almost every night. I walk five nights a week. And five mornings a week. The morning walk, I walk by myself. But the night walk, we walk around Salida about a mile, mile and a half, somewhere in that ballpark, depending on how far we walk. But we walk with a group. The other night, there was like 10 or 12 of us walking down. It looked like a whole army of people walking down the street. My grandkids were with me. Some other church members were with us. My wife. And it's just walking with friends and neighbors, walking around town. There's something about walking with others that's encouraging, isn't it? See, we need one another to walk. Look what the scripture says here. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, he's just not talking about marriage, though it does refer to that. And he's not just talking about men. I think he's talking about us as mankind, that we need one another. There's this need in us to be with others. God created us, and we're a social being. I don't care what you think. I don't care how many times you hear somebody say, I like being alone. Yeah. How do they punish prison? I got to go to prison. Visit prison. Let's make sure I say that right. I got to visit prison this week. How do they punish prisoners? Put them in a bunch of people. Hey, get with all these other people and have fun. They punish prisoners by putting them in solitary confinement. I think we punish ourselves when we pull ourselves away from people. I don't need anybody now. I got to work through this by myself. Anybody ever hear words like that? We need one another. We get in trouble when we don't hang and we don't associate and we don't hang around with others. And in order for us to grow, we need that with one another. Yeah. And what it helps, and let me give you really three things you can write in the margin. These are not things you can put on the outline. But, you know, there's safety in numbers, isn't there? Now, I don't mind walking around Salida by myself in the morning. But if I'm going to go walk around central L.A., you think I want to be by myself? I'm going to go stroll through Detroit? You know, I'm not going to say bad things about every city has their issues, and I'm not talking about. But, you know, is there safety in numbers? The Bible says, pity the man who doesn't have somebody to walk through life with. If he falls, he has nobody to pick him up. You know? There's support when you walk with others. You know, somebody there to encourage you. Sometimes you feel like quitting. Anybody ever feel like quitting? Throw the towel in. You're tired. You're weary. There's support when you walk with others. The Bible says encourage one another. You know, and there's support when we walk with others, and we need to see that. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how smart you are. You're smarter with a group. There's this thing called collective intelligence. And we need to understand, we need one another just to be smarter. We need each other to contribute there. The Bible talks about pity the man who thinks he has all the answers and the wisdom that he has in himself. See, we need to understand we need one another. And one of the greatest struggles we have in life, and maybe you're here this morning and I've seen it and I have felt it myself. I've been in a group and felt lonely. Anybody? You can have all the people around you. You can be with everybody around you. You can be sitting at the table with your family and still feel alone. There's something about being with others that battles that, and not just your family. You know, God created two things for us. God created our physical family, the family I grew up with. You know, that family's all over the place right now. You know, most of my family's up in Sacramento. But God also created my church family. He gave me a spiritual family. People to be with, to encourage, to grow with, for safety, for support. See, God gives us, we have these two families, and we need both. And we need both of these families. And so we need to be a part of what God is doing. Look what the scripture says. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. You know what's a great tragedy? When we get depressed or frustrated or there's failure, or whatever in our life, we want to be alone. Am I right? You want to kind of shut yourself off. And that's the worst thing you can do. Look at what it says. Don't give up meeting together. See, we need to meet together. We need to gather. You need to have a time with other individuals and not lock ourselves up. And not throw the towel in and give up. You want to battle loneliness? Here's the point. If you look at your little outline there, community is God's answer to loneliness. Now, I'm not talking about this. Look at this next scripture with me. I want to spend a minute right here. So here's what I want you to do. When you gather for worship, each one of you be prepared with something that will be useful for all. Sing a hymn. Teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight. Does that sound like Sunday morning to you? All right, whose turn is it? Okay, it's your turn, then it's your turn, then it's your turn. That's what it says. Did it say each one of you? Did it say somebody? See, this is a crowd. This is when we gather as a church, as a crowd. This is really talking about when you get together with a small group. You need 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people that you can sit down with and share life's journey, that you can walk through life with. That's what this is about. I mean, this morning, I don't come here and say, okay, it is so-and-so's turn to share their story. Tell me your story. Who's next? Yeah. You think I'm long? We could be here a long time if I did it that way, couldn't we? Everybody gets 5 minutes. We'll start up here with Linda. I mean, yeah. How many would like to talk in front of everybody? Raise your hand if you'd like to talk in front of everybody. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. See, that's the crowd. We need that small group. You need those people who are there with you, who will walk with you and be with you through the good times, the bad times. You need that group. You know, you get sick, you have needs. You go to the hospital. You know, you go to the hospital. I'm going to tell you, do you want everybody in church to go by and see you? I heard that one. When I'm in the hospital, you want a few people, right? You want some of your close friends. Some are saying no to even that. You know, just leave me alone. Let me curl up in that little infantile stage and just leave me alone. We're all different. But you know what? You want those 4 or 5 people. You want that 5, 6, 7 people who'll be there with you, who'll walk in and say, hey, I'm going to pray for you. Or I've been praying for you. You want those people in your life. You don't want the crowd. You want that community. Do you see what I'm saying here? We need some people we're going to walk through life with and be with and journey with. Look what this next verse says. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of life. See, that's what he's encouraged us to do. See, everybody contributes. I remember when I was in college, one of my teachers, one of my professors would say, you know, I only go to church when I feel I need it. And I felt like saying, when you don't feel you need it, it's probably the time you need it the most. Anybody agree with that one? Yeah. See, we need that little group, that time that we can sit down and share, and everybody gets a turn. And, you know, you get in a big group and it gets kind of quiet. You know, it's okay to talk with four or five people there, but you get 30, 40, 50 people there, it's harder to get in front of and talk. And you need that group, and you find growth, and you find support, and you find encouragement. You know, you find all that in that little group. And that's what I want to challenge us with. And that's what this 40 days is all about. I'm going to challenge you. If you got in your worship folder, there's a little card. Pull that green card out real quick, would you? There's a green card. I'm waiting. That green card has a list that asks you to make a commitment. I'm going to ask you to commit to being in church for 7 Sundays in a row. For some of you, that's going to be a challenge, okay? For others of you, it's not a problem. But 7 Sundays in a row, you can't miss. All right? I'm not going to take roll or anything, but I'm going to encourage you to be here for 7 Sundays in a row. I'm going to encourage you to join a small group that you need to get in a small group. What's exciting to me, if you look on the back of that paper, there is a small group every night of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Matter of fact, there's 2 on Thursday, 2 on Wednesday. I forgot one on Wednesday. One on Thursday. Was it Thursday one I missed? I missed the youth one on Thursday. And it's not just for youth. Some of you might be able to come to that one that couldn't make it another night. I didn't get that one on there. They did my house. Sean is the leader. Sean and April are working that group. And I forgot to put that one down there. They got a table set up. When you leave here in a few minutes, quite a few minutes, you're going to walk over here and there's all these tables set up. The one that says Monday is a really nice table. There's candy on the table. I even got a little medical thing. You can get some Band-Aids and things. It says First Baptist Church on it. Come by my table. And Chris is going to take the table. Chris is the host at my house, at her house. And so go on by and visit the. I want you to get in a group. We're going to challenge you to read a little devotional every day. 2 or 3 minutes. It's like a page and a half. That's it. A page and a half. And so we're just going to challenge you to read it. I did something, and I'm going to give it out to some others, is I put it on a PDF file. I'm going to put it on my iPhone. And so I got a CD. If you want it on a CD that you load on your computer, and you can read it right on your computer as a PDF file, you can put it on your computer. It also has a Word file on the CD. There's a few of those over there. Something to read every day for 40 days, starting today. You need to read lesson 1 today when you go home. All right? Start reading today. During the Bible study group, there'll be a DVD. You'll watch a DVD, and you got this little book to answer questions. You just sit down and answer the questions and have a discussion afterwards and discuss the questions. And so I'm going to challenge you to get in a group and build some relationships. For some, it's hard to get into that small group. That's why we have all the tables set up. We want you to have some fun. I challenge the teachers to make some fun things over there. There's some over there that tried to compete with me, but I still think I got the best table. You guys can be the judge of that. Just vote Gary, all right? It's real simple. And so we're just having fun. I want you in Bible study. You need to get in a group. And for those who are here today, you guys get a special blessing. There is a keychain over there. And those who are here today, if we have extras, others can get it. I only bought 50. They're a special thing. There's only 50 of them. It's a little key ring and the memory verse that you'll get every week. And the memory verse is on the table. So you go by your table, you get your book, they'll give you a little keychain, and then you go get your memory verse and you memorize that verse. I can already tell you, it's John chapter 13, verse 35. I'll give you a quick paraphrase. It's not quite how they worded it, but the verse says this: they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. And so we're going to challenge you to memorize a verse. I'm not going to go easy on you. You need to know I got high expectations for you. All right? So after church, in a few moments, quite a few moments, make sure I'm online here, you're going to go over there. We're not going to tear down for at least 15 minutes, so some of you get ready to tear down. Slow down. You're going to go over there and look around and join a group. The leaders over there, the facilitators, the host home people, they're all going to be over there talking with you. And we just want you in a group. We're having fun with this. I hope you take this as fun. If you have your group, go to your group. But we're going to try to steal anybody I can steal. Don't worry about that. And we're just going to have fun because I want you in a group. We need to be in a group. And I want to thank those who volunteered to be a host home. Here's a passage of scripture for them. Open your homes to each other. I like that last part. Without complaining. All right? Do it without complaining. If you are hosting a group, would you stand up? Come on. Come on. If you're hosting a group, would you stand up? Would you give them a hand for opening their homes up? Thank you. Thank you. And I haven't heard one of them complain. All right? Not yet. But most of them have been having homes. Oh, somebody's pointing at others already. You know, it's fun to be a part of what God is doing. I want to encourage you, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, Wednesday afternoon, two on Wednesday night, two on Thursday. If you need to come during the day, there's one at 10 o'clock Thursday morning. There's one Thursday night. There's one Friday. If you can only come on Saturday, one of the groups moved it to Saturday so people could get there on Saturday. It's a great opportunity to get with some others because you need somebody to walk through life with. You really do. You really, really, really need somebody to walk through life with. That's the first reason. The second reason is I need others to work with me. I need others to work with me. Anybody here ever get tired working? You guys are quiet. Anybody have it up to here working, you know? Too much to do, not enough time to do it in? Yeah. We need others to help us. See, we live in and we want to do things my way, and you got to do it my way, and I can do it myself, so I don't need anybody helping me, leave me alone. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? We literally need others. See, God created us to work. Look at what the scripture says. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What's that saying? Is God created you special to do something special. We call it shape in our church. Anybody remember that? We call it shape. God gave you spiritual gifts, a personality, abilities. Did I spell shape right? Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. Boy, I better spell right. God shaped you, and he wants you to do something. He created you to do work. And the tragic thing is we think we got to do it by ourselves. I got to do this my own. I got to do this by myself. Nobody can help me do this. We think we got to do it by ourselves. And then we wonder why we're tired all the time. Why I can't get everything done. And we can't figure it out. God created us to help one another. Look at this next passage. Two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. Is that true? Then why do we think we got to do it all on our own? We don't need anybody. We can do it. And I want to challenge us. We need to work together. We're going to change Salida. We're going to make a difference. I really believe that. I want to turn Salida upside down. My goal is to turn Salida upside down. My goal is to make a difference in Salida. In order for that to happen means we have to do it because Gary can't do it. You know, whatever God's called you to do, when you do it for God, it's called ministry. And we're going to be challenging you through this 40 days to be part of a ministry, to do some kind of a ministry, to take a ministry project, and to be a part to make a difference in somebody's life. See, one of my burdens for me as a pastor at First Baptist Church is that if our church disappeared, nobody would know it. Yeah. They know it now because our building's there. But that's it. Have we made a difference in Salida? But you don't have to do it all by yourself. That's the struggle. We get out there and say, I can't do anymore. Anybody know what that is? My plate's full. I'm too busy already. And that's all true. I'm not going to deny that. But if we work together, we can get more done. I want to give you a hint. You want to deal with fatigue? You want to deal with getting tired? You want to deal with too much to do? Get in a community. That's the next point. Look at what it says here. Community is God's answer to fatigue. Community is God's answer to fatigue. When you get with others, they can help. They can carry some of the load. They can support. They can walk, not only walk with you, they're there for you. See, we need and we can do more together. We're part of what's called the Southern Baptist Convention. People hear the word Baptist and it's like, Well, we are a Southern Baptist church. And you need to know I'm proud of that, because for me, Southern Baptist stands for this book right here. People can criticize and say we're crazy and we're fanatical. All I want to do is whatever this book says. I mean, you want to call me a fanatic because I want to do what the Bible says? You can call me a fanatic. You can say because I base my values on here, I'm a weirdo. You can call me a weirdo. That's why I like being, there's no organization telling us what to do. Oh, you got to preach this. Oh, you got to do this. Matter of fact, we're different than most churches that are called Southern Baptist churches. Yeah. And we're different. But we're Southern Baptist not only because of what this book said, but we're Southern Baptist because we're, this little church really couldn't send a missionary anywhere. But because we're part of what Southern Baptists do, we join 40,000 other Southern Baptist churches in America. And we have 5,000 missionaries around the world. We have more than 5,000 missionaries in the United States that this church is a part of, that we couldn't do by ourselves, but we can do when we join with others. And I want to challenge us. They're helping there. We need to take care of Salida. We need to make a difference in Salida. And yes, there's a lot to do, but you don't have to do it alone. Get others to help. Share the load. Get in a community that can work together and make things happen. Look at what it says here. When we have opportunity to help one another, we should do it. But we should give special attention to those who are in the family of believers. It's saying take care of one another. Work with one another. Help one another. Be there for one another. See, we need to walk with each other and we need to work with each other. Does that make sense? That's what a group does. That's what community does. That's what our small group does. We work, we walk. I enjoy going with the youth to the gospel mission the fourth Wednesday of every month. And that's fun to go down there and to minister. And the kids want to be there. It's not like we're dragging them there. They volunteer. They got to come to the house. And it's an enjoyable time to go down there. And I see people and visit with people and minister to people and know that you're making a difference in somebody's life. That all of a sudden when you see 60 kids, families, that's just the children. That's not the adults that are in there. That's the children families that are coming from the children's center. 60 of them sometimes. 45. And you're sitting there and they're getting milk and they're getting good food. And that's exciting to be a part of that. Working with others. So we need to work with others. We need to walk with others. That's what a small group's about. Here's the third one. We need others to watch out for me. See, we need people who are going to watch out for us. Anybody have a car? Anybody? Anybody? I don't see any hands up. There's no cars out there? Oh, okay. All right. Some of you got cars. Are there blind spots in your car? Anybody? You're driving down the road, and you're going to change lanes, you look, and then you start going, you realize, there was somebody there. It's in that blind spot. We have blind spots in our lives. You have things in our lives that we don't see, that we don't notice, that we miss. We need people to watch out for us. Do you know what I'm saying? We need people who are going to look out for us. People who are going to stand for us, who are going to protect us, who's going to keep us on the right track, who's going to be there for it. We need that. The worship team was making fun of me this morning. All right? We're behind the curtain over there, and we're getting ready, and they're getting my microphone on, and it's taped up. And they were laughing at me because last week my microphone was hanging out over here, they said, and it looked funny. But nobody told me. Who's watching out for me? You know, who's got my back? I'm hoping, now listen to me, I want to make sure you understand this. If I am standing up here and my pants are unzipped, listen to me now, don't leave me standing up here unzipped. Somebody stand up and say, Gary, zip up, all right? Can somebody, I mean, come on, don't, you know when you got that booger hanging right there? Don't you want somebody to tell you? Come on now. You know, you've been eating that taco and that lettuce is right there. Don't you want somebody to tell you? Come on. Seriously, don't you want somebody to tell you? We need to watch out for one another. Look at what the scripture says. Each one should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. You know, do we look out for one another? You know, in this group, it's kind of hard. This is the crowd. We don't see everybody all the time. But you get in your small group. You get with those 5, 6, 7, 10 people, and you're with them. You can look out for one another. You can see the sign. Hey, be careful what road you're going on. Think about that decision. Are you sure? You can sound the warning. And we need to see that. See, a small group is a place where we can watch out for one another. You know, that's a booby trap. You know, do you understand? Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've heard somebody else has been there. Maybe it's that blind spot you didn't notice. We need to watch out for one another. Look at this next verse. I want you to circle the word here. Keep being concerned. Circle keep. Keep being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should. Keep being concerned. Be there for one another. You got to be on your attention with it. I'm going to tell you something. Anybody get up this morning? Anybody? All right. Before you got up this morning, Satan was making plans for you. You need to know this. Satan was making plans for you. 9/11 is a day we remember. It's burned in our mind. America was attacked by terrorists. They flew those planes into the Twin Towers. They did a report, and I read some of the report this week. I want you to listen to what they wrote in this report. We learned about an enemy who is sophisticated, patient, disciplined, and lethal. The enemy rallies broad support in the Arab and Muslim world by demanding a redress of political grievances. But its hostile toward us and our values is limitless. Its purpose is to rid the world of religious and political pluralism, the plebiscit and equal rights for women. It makes no distinction between military and civilian targets. Collateral damage is not in its lexicon. Would anybody agree with that? That's a good definition? That's what the report for the towers and the bombing was. And we read that, and America's being diligent right now. I mean, every time we turn around, you know, there's a warning right now in Europe that Americans need to be careful. It raised it one level. You go through the airports, almost strip search now to go through the airport. Yeah, we're really on guard politically and protecting our country and protecting our lives. I want to ask you this: who's protecting you spiritually? You know, as I read that list, I'm going to ask you. The scripture says the devil seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want you to know the devil last night was making plans for you. Plans to get you angry today. Plans to get you frustrated today. Plans to push that button that pushes you over the edge today. See, the devil, he's not taking any vacation. It wasn't like, the devil slept last night. I'm going to tell you something. The devil did not sleep last night. He was up thinking of how he could make you and ruin your day, steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. That's what he wants to do. And I want to ask you this. Who's watching out for you? Where's your metal detectors? Who's got your back? Who's watching out for you? See, I want to challenge us here. See, that's what that small group does. Yeah. I got a group I meet with on Monday. I got a group I meet with on Monday morning at 6 in the morning. bunch of guys that get together and we're watching out for one another. We talk. We talk about our journey, our questions, our life. And we're there for one another. We're going to watch out for one another. And we made a commitment to do that. We always hear this thing, and it's something that changed me, is pray for me. I got some things I'm struggling with. Pray for me. I got some things I'm struggling with. And I let that slide, and I seen it come up and bite somebody and take somebody down. And so now I don't take that anymore. Some of you put, pray for me. I got unspoken requests on your blue card. And I pray for you in those unspoken requests. But I want to tell you something. You keep that coming. But you send me four or five of those in a row, I'm going to ask you what it is. Because I want you to know I'm watching out for you. Not because I'm nosy. Not because I feel I have to know. I want to know, and I want you to know that, hey, you got a need. I want to make sure I'm praying for the right thing. And I'm watching out. I got your back. So if you put unspoken down there three or four times, somebody knows. I've asked somebody here about it. They've had it on their card four or five times. I went up and said, hey, you said this. Is everything okay? What exactly are you saying? You know, so don't get afraid about putting unspoken on there. You just know, I want to have your back. I want to make sure. I want to sound the warning. And I want you to know somebody's there for you. Who has your back? I'm going to ask you that. Who's got your back? You got to get in that small group. You got to get with those there that are going to walk with you that can say, wait a minute, think about this. Are you sure? Yeah. Some people can see the devil coming at me before I see him coming. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. We need to watch out for one. But here's the next thing I want to ask you. Who are you watching out for? I've always told you this. I'm going to keep saying this as long as I'm here. I'm going to be here for a long time, so get used to hearing it. You need to have somebody who can say the hard things to you. You need to have somebody in your life who can say the hard things to you. The things you don't want to hear. The things you want to sweep under the carpet. The things you don't want anybody to know about. You need to have somebody who can say the hard things to you. You need to be in a small group. And you need to be there. Look at the next scripture. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We need that small group. You need two, three, four friends, five friends. See, I believe, just so you get my perspective, I believe you need your small group and you need the one person. I absolutely believe that. You need that small group who's watching out for you, but you need that one person. You know, the Bible says confess your sins to one another. I think that's what that verse is talking about. That one person that you can tell those struggles, those inner battles, those heartaches to, that can hear those and help you watch out. Yeah. I think that's what God said. And when you do, that community of believers, that community helps you be undefeated. Look at what it says here. Here's what the point is I want you to put in that story. Community is God's answer to defeat. I think sometimes we don't know when we won. Here's that verse I spoke of earlier. Look at this verse. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. You need to know. I know there's people out, and I've seen them, and I know them, who have nobody to help them up. Who have nobody. Years ago in the old blue church, there was a man that lived across the street with his wife that lived across the street from our church. I'd visit him several times. A lot of times I'd visit, and one day I was out there working, and he came across, and he was in his 80s, and he helped me trim one of the trees, and we just visited a while, and his wife passed away, and he ends up in a convalescent home, and nobody visited him. Nobody. He had no kids. It was his wife's kids that were there. They tucked the house over and basically tucked the house over and put him in the home. Who was watching out for him? See, we need people. You know, who's going to pick him up? And we need that. See, we need others. See, this brings me to my next point. We need others to wait and weep with me. Oh, can you go back? It's got to be that. Don't tell me I missed part of it. Well, you guys are going to have to catch up with this. I don't know what happened. We need others to wait and weep, so we'll just have to go over it. It's in your outline here, so we're going to leave the screen kind of like it is. We need others to wait and weep with me. Look at the scripture on your handout there. And now this word to all of you. You should be like one big happy family, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. We need to be there for one another during the good times and the bad times. We need to be there with each other. That man was in the hospital. See, I don't believe anybody should have to go to the hospital by themselves and sit there and wait. Somebody having a family member having surgery, I don't think they should do that. I don't think somebody should have to go to a hospital and sit and wait as a lab test comes back on a pregnancy. Or a cell test comes back on a biopsy. I don't think anybody should have to sit there alone and wait. We need one. And the problem is, you need to know, I can't do all that anymore. You know, I look back on it, and one of my things is, I can't do half the stuff I used to do. I'm an old man now. You know? When the lady come here looking for an old man, it's like, man, I guess I am getting old. Yeah, some lady came walking the hall and said, I want that old man with gray hair. He said he had a beard, so I tried to blame Dan, but she said he was tall, so it was me. Yeah. See, we need that small group. I need you going with your small group to the hospital. When somebody has a need, I need you there. We need one another. When somebody's hurting, we need somebody there. And when the church is small, the pastor can do it all. Well, you know what? I can't do it all. We need somebody to weep with. We need somebody who's going to cry with us. We need somebody who's going to be there with us. And it hurts, and we need to be there during that time. And you need to be there. Look at this next verse. It says, if one member suffers, all together suffer. We need to walk through life together, working together, watching out together, and weeping and waiting with somebody. Life is cruel, and we need that in our lives. I never forgot that time I was sitting at the hospital, and there was three or four of us with one of our members. Her husband was having surgery, and we're sitting at the hospital, and there's an elderly lady sitting over here on this side. I was much younger then. And she's sitting over here on this side. And we're talking and we're praying with her and we're praying for the guy having surgery and we're talking and we're laughing. And she finally peps up and she goes, do you have to go to church to be a good Christian? That really wasn't what she wanted to know. She wanted somebody to come over there and sit next to her. So we finished our conversation and I went over and sat next to her and found out this was her husband's second time and they didn't think he was going to make it through surgery and she was there by herself. You know, and we're sitting there and there's like four or five of us sitting over here with one person whose husband was having surgery. See, I don't think we should see that happen. See, we need to be there for one another. We need to walk through life weeping and when it hurts, it hurts. And I remember my brother passed away and I was going to do his funeral and I went up to the mountains where they did the funeral at my mom and dad's cabin. And one of the things, I went down and sat by the river as I was just getting ready. It was going to start in just a few moments and I was getting ready and I had to get myself mentally and spiritually ready to go and speak about my brother's funeral. And I knew, because I had talked with Martha and Francis and Rose and all of them, that they were back here praying for me. I knew they were praying for me. That when I was going to get up, and that was one thing that gave me confidence. I'm sitting there and I was praying to God and it just came in and I knew that they were praying for me too. See, we need that with us. Somebody who's going to be there with us through the good and the bad. And what the little blank there, community is God's answer to despair. Despair, D-I-S-P-A-I-R. Did I spell it right? I hope so. You need to know I'm not the only preacher that can't spell. I listened to one of these preachers. Pastors a large church, one of the larger churches in America. And he writes on a board sometimes, and he has to erase and spell, and they're yelling at him how to spell it. So I'm not the only preacher that can't spell. I feel good about that. And I'm not going to tell you who he is. He's got a big church, but he's fun to listen to. Despair. Despair. Listen, you need a group to keep you from getting despair. Look at this next verse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. We need that. There's a time to party. There's a time to celebrate. We're going to do this 40 days of purpose. We're going to have 40 days. We're going to have this 40 days of community. We're going to have 40 days starting today. 7 Sundays from now, November 21st, we're going to have a big old party. We're going to have a potluck dinner. We're going to have a great time celebrating out here on November 21st. We're going to rejoice. You're going to memorize 7 verses. You're going to attend church 7 days in a row. You're going to have your small group. You're going to have your book filled out. And you're going to be bubbling over with love because you've touched somebody's life in Salida. And we're going to celebrate. And we're going to party. There's a time to weep and a time to mourn. And we need to see that. But we want to do it with others. We want to be there with others. You need that community to weep and to wait on you and to be there for you. And listen to the last verse. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. Do what you're supposed to do and do it well. Now, the last thing we come to that a group provides. Now, remember, the group is going to walk with you. They're going to watch out, work with you. They're going to watch out for you. And they're going to weep and wait with you. But you're going to be a witness. Now, that is scary. If I tell you guys, you know what, we're going to go out of church today, we're going to walk around this neighborhood right across, and we're going to knock on doors and tell them about Jesus. Some of you guys are going to go, not me. Am I right? I can't do that. That's not for me. Well, you know what? We all can't do that. That's not it. That isn't for everybody. But as a community, we can all do something to make a difference. We can all do something. Look at what it says. By this, okay, now we're going to have to ask what this is. He's going to tell us in a minute. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Your neighbor is going to know you're a Christian, that you're a believer, that you've crossed the line of faith and that Jesus is real to you, not because your car is gone this morning. Now, they might think you go to church, but they don't know any more than that. You could have went out for breakfast. Yeah. They're going to know you're a Christian because you love one another. This passage for me is a significant passage. It doesn't say they're going to know you're a Christian because you know the Bible inside and out. It doesn't say they're going to know you're a Christian because you can quote verse after verse after verse to them and straighten them out. It doesn't say they're going to know you're a Christian because you're at church every time the doors are open, every Bible study there is. You're going to go every day. You're going to go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Matter of fact, twice on Thursday. And you're going to go Friday, Saturday. You're going to go visit every group. So you're going to be a super Christian. It don't work that way. They're going to know you are a Christian by your love. I want to make sure you hear that. They're going to know you are a Christian by your love. That's what sets us apart from this world. Are we loving? And that's our witness. And that's how we witness. And I want to challenge us in this next 40 days to love our community, to love Salida, and to make a difference in Salida. Now, individually, that could be hard. That could be frightening. But I told you earlier, there's safety in numbers, right? So when we do it as a community, it's a lot easier. Going and volunteering at the gospel mission by yourself may be frightening, am I right? But going with a group of youth is not frightening. The youth might be, but going there is not. See, look at this next scripture. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be fearful. We can be a witness. You can be a witness for Jesus. Most of you think you can't do it. Most of you think, well, that's what the preacher does. Or that's what the select few do. I want you to know that every one of us can be and are a witness. By your love for others, you're a witness. By being part of that community, you're a witness. If you look at that blank, God's answer to fear is community. Being with others. And I want to challenge you. During this 40-day study, you're going to be challenged in your group to do a mission project. I don't know what it's going to be. I gave a paper to all the home group leaders. They're going to read it over. They're going to be challenging you to be part of a mission. We're going to challenge you as we go through here to be part of a ministry. We're going to have a ministry fair over here, just like the tables are set up. We're going to talk about some various ministries that are going on and encourage you to get involved in something so that you join others. You're not out there by yourself. And we want to encourage you. Look at that last scripture verse. Above all else, you must live in a way that brings honor to the God, you must bring honor to the good news about Christ. Then when I visit you or not, I will hear that all of you think alike. I will know that you are working together and that you are struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. You see, it's teamwork. It's community. It's all of us working together. And I want to challenge you during this 40 days that I want to make a difference in Salida. I want somebody to say, First Baptist Church turned Salida upside down, not because of our building, but because we ministered in our community. And I'm talking about we have to do these major projects. We may join a project. I've challenged some, join and help with the food bank in Salida. They only open a little bit on Tuesday, every Tuesday, such hours. They really don't need our help. They could use our supplies of different items and things. And we're going to be talking, maybe your group would adopt that. Maybe you want to join the youth and go to the gospel mission. There's all sorts of things. Maybe you're going to be working with the Samaritan's Purse. Maybe we're going to go clean up Broadway and just take Broadway. I want to see us adopt Salida Elementary School. I just see somebody in our church step up and say, I want to facilitate and be a leader that we adopt Salida Elementary School and look at their needs. Not what we think they need, but go meet with the principal and find out what they need. And we minister to the Salida Elementary School and make a difference in those kids that are there and those families that are there. There's all sorts of things that we can do to be a witness, to show the community that we love them and that we care. But it's going to begin today. It starts today. This is the beginning. I gave you that green piece of paper. I want you to pull that green piece of paper out again. I want you to think about all those commitments. You notice those aren't, those bullets are boxes. You know why they're boxes? They're called check boxes. Because if you're willing to make that commitment, I want you to put a check there. All right? I want you to put a check there. If you're willing to make that commitment, I'm going to be here every Sunday. Put a check. I'm going to go to my small group. I'm going to join a small group. You're going to find one in just a minute. Put a check. I'm going to memorize the scripture. Put a check. I want you to check off what you're willing to do. This is you and God. You're going to keep this. I'm not going to collect it. I'm not going to ask for it. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. I'm going to ask you to sign it. That's you and God. On the back side, I want you to look at the back side, and I want you to pick a group. I want you to say, I'm going to go talk to this group. There's signs on the tables. There's signs behind the tables. It's all set up over there. I want you to find a group. You can pick up a book. You can pick up your memory tags, your little keychains, and pick up a memory tag. Start memorizing your verse right now. Now, get it? Memorize. I tell you, you memorize God's word, it'll play benefits in the end. And you can begin to plug in and be part of a community. You can be part of a community that you can walk with, that you can work with, that'll watch out for you. That will wait and weep with you, and that will be a witness with you. But you got to take the step. And I don't want anybody going out. This is where I miss Lance the most, because Lance wouldn't let you out until you join one. You know, so I don't have anybody guarding the door now. But go by. The group leaders are over there. Pick a group. Get in a group. Get your book. Read today's devotional. If you want it on a CD, there's a few CDs over there. If you didn't get one, email me, and I'll send you the file by text. I can send it to you right on the internet. It's a file on my computer. So you can read it on your iPad, iPhone, or whatever you have you want to read it on. That's where I'm going to put mine. Just a daily devotional. One day, every day, 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. I want to challenge you. Because here's the end. Look at this end, what I put at the bottom. I really, really, really need a group. All right? I really, really, really need a group. I'm going to tell you something. You do. If you think you can go through life on your own, I'm going to pray for you. Because you won't go very far. It will be awful lonely, awful painful, awful tiring. awful, defeated life that you live. Get in a group. Be a part of what God is going to do. And make a difference. This is an exciting time in Salida. This is an exciting time for First Baptist Church. I look at some times in our church, and I look back over the church, and I think when they went around door to door in Salida and started this church, knocking on every door, looking for someone who would come. And that's what they did. That's how they started. They knocked on the doors. I look at when they built their first building and bought their property, and I read the paperwork on all of that and the challenges they had. One of the buildings was shipped down from Sharp Depot. It came out of the war. Great times, and now we're building our church. But I really want the statement to be, we turned Salida upside down. And it began with 40 days of community. That we committed ourselves to one another to making a difference in Salida. Let's pray.